I mentioned earlier that on this show today, we would have someone who has starred in three of my favourite films. Pulp Fiction, Star Wars Episode One, The Phantom Menace, and The Commitments. But that's only half the story because she has been described by no less than Brian Eno as one of the purest, clearest talents I know. She's recorded two albums. She has a new single out. We're going to hear it in a few minutes. She's appearing at Electric Picnic in Stradbally, County Leash tonight. Brona Gallagher, how are you?
Very well, John. How are you?
I'm great, you big star.
Good morning. Aye, it's all good. Well, I couldn't really sleep. I was so excited I kept waking up thinking about it.
About what? About this chat or about Electric Picnic tonight?
About this chat.
Oh,
and
good.
Electric Picnic, both you and the picnic.
Yeah. You crawled
at the picnic with me.
No, stop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Do you see, when we were at school, Brona, and you're much younger than me, but we all dallied with the notion of one day we'd want to be a pop star, the next day we'd want to be a film star, and you just decided to get greedy, didn't you?
Yeah, I'm a greedy girl.
Yeah.
No, you know, I don't know, I just love, I think the thing that I love most is interaction with audiences. I think that was the first initial click and the hook that got me, and I was only probably four, and I was at the school play in the Nazareth House in Derry, and there was a gingerbread queen. And
really, you remember that as cathartic
vividly.
Moment, that
yeah.
moment that changed everything for you?
Yeah, a complete vivid moment. I remember standing on the stage and thinking, what's this? And obviously, as a child, you naturally sort of seek attention. I think every child does, you know, until your socialization process teaches you that you can't be an exhibitionist all the time. I suppose I was in a way, like a lot of kids. But I just loved what you can create in a room with people. And I think that's the main reason why, I suppose, you know, there's a natural metamorphosis now in the music, when obviously you feel you've a lot more control in a lot of ways over what you're doing. And I mean, I haven't ever fallen out of love of acting, and I absolutely love what I do, and more so live theatre, you know, than the film work, because obviously film is a very long process, can be very tedious, although it's wonderful and the outcome, you know, is magnificent and it's there forever. But it's the sort of live interaction with the audiences and learning the craft, really, that I adore. And then obviously the music seems like sort of a natural, you know, extension now of that, and it's a lot more challenging because, you know, there's a lot more vulnerability involved when it's your own music and your own sort of creation, as it were, you know.
And does that worry you more?
I suppose initially when you're making stuff, you know, yes, you're thinking, is this good enough? But I think, you know, if you want to make work, I mean, this is only my second album, you know, I'm still only starting out in a lot of ways, but, you know, I think we waste so much energy being insecure about things, and this is not good enough, and people that start their own businesses, and which is essentially, you know, what this is in a way, you know, my next sort of offering in the music business. It is nerve-wracking, and it's, you know, it can be very daunting, and, you know, we're incredibly sensitive, delicate creatures, and I think if you give too much energy to the fact, oh, this is not good enough, you know, it's okay, get out there and do it, and then you'll see, and you'll learn, and you'll craft, and you know,
that's very mature of you.
But it's you know.
Is it an age thing?
You're
do you
not
think?
Going to do it then.
Yeah.
You sit around and you're completely like ensconced by fear and oh, I can't do this. I mean, you know, I never considered myself a good singer, and I'm not saying that I'm a great singer or anything like that. But I mean, that's what would have stopped me doing it. But I'm not a great singer. And then, you know, now I'm singing, I'm kind of thinking, oh well, this is actually maybe okay. You know, so
it's better than okay.
No, but you know,
it is,
you know, there's a certain, you know, I think there's a certain health, you know, healthiness to humility as well, and, you know, to just work on the craft rather than working on the ego. But, you know, it is scary, but there's so many people I know in my life that have taken that leap of faith, and it's so inspiring. And then I see them maybe 5 years later down the road, and they're constantly on tour with their record, the bands are coming, or the songs are coming with the band, the records are flowing, because they get themselves into that state, and it's a creative state, which is wonderful. But, you know, the only other alternative is that you don't do it. You just have to do it and make a mistake and make an idiot of yourself sometimes and do it, like in any business, not just in the entertainment business, you know. But
And everything.
And everything. I mean, obviously, you know, you have to financially structure properly, and, you know, you need support and all that kind of stuff. But, I mean, you know, you only have one shot at life, and why not, you know?
Absolutely. I think you get to an age when you just don't care anymore.
Yep.
You have that ahead of you, you see. You're young.
I have that ahead of me, in a sense. Yes, I'm only 21, but as you all know.
Yeah.
I mean, I just think as you get older, you either sort of go into the tunnel of not doing anything and staying in a state of God, I wish I could do that. God, I'd love to paint. I'd love to sing. I'd love to make a film. I'd love to learn to dance. Or, you know, I'd love to learn to cook. And then you get past the point and then people say, ah, but I'm too old now. And, you know, but
no.
Like, you're not.
You're not. You never
know,
are.
It really is. And there's great, you know, there's just such great happiness and such great reward to come from that. And it's so admirable when you see people that sort of take that leap of faith and go, but why not, you know? Why not? As long as you're not...
You've worked with very forthright people, with people who have very set opinions about what they want to do and how they want to create things. Like, for instance, in your film career, you've worked with three of the most famous directors in the history of movie making: Quentin Tarantino, George Lucas, Alan Parker.
Yeah.
What do you learn from working with people like that? Is it that that's not self-righteous, but that almost tunnel vision, that this is the way I want to do it, and yes, it might not work, but I don't care?
It's never self-righteous, and I never found any of the great people that I worked with indulgent. I mean, I've worked with Simon McBurney too, I have to say, including in those great directors.
Absolutely.
The theatre director, Simon McBurney. And what I think is all those chaps have in common is they have a vision. I mean, Tarantino very much so, because he wrote the scripts that he directed, and obviously I was only there for the few weeks in the whole Pulp Fiction experience. But, I mean, he knew exactly what he wanted to do. And great directors and great leaders know exactly what they want to do. And then they implement the work to the chosen people, and they wait until they get the right people. Obviously, sometimes, you know, actors aren't available by the time things come to actually being shot. But they all had such incredibly articulate preparation done. And that's what's so impressive about these guys, you know. And it's ultimately... you know, completely professional.
Yes.
If you're walking into an environment with Tarantino or Parker or something like George Lucas, which is such a massive scale situation, you know, it's a totally different thing, and it's very technical because a lot of it's green screen. But everything's in the preparation, and that's the key to great success, that the structure is completely solid underneath, and they know exactly what the outcome was. So they sort of have this vision in their head, and they do it, and that's what's really... really enjoyable when you go into an environment, a creative environment, and somebody's not winging it. They don't have a sort of half an idea. They've researched it. They've done it. You know, I recently just worked on a film in Belfast called Made in Belfast, which is a very low budget but very brilliantly written by Paul Kennedy. A film, it's a love story set in Belfast. And I mean, you know, my sister produced it, Louise, and with other friends, Stuart Graham, and that. And you know, they were saying to me, oh, it's only low budget, it's only low budget. But, I mean, they knew exactly every move, what they wanted to do. And I was so, not in any way patronising, but I was so impressed at the fluidity and the professionalism and the clarity and the direction and just the whole production. It was just impeccable. And I just thought, see, this is what a good director is. This is what a good production
and
is.
And that's so, the way it should be, shouldn't it?
The
that's
it
the way
be.
Leaders
know,
should
it's
be.
It's not about big finance. I mean,
not
Quentin,
at all.
Quentin's low, no, Pulp Fiction was low budget. But he had the right people, and he fought for Travolta, and he fought for the people that he wanted, and, you know, reinvented and rejuvenated people's careers, and obviously made a classic. And, you know, it's about people having their homework done, you know. And it's like me coming into the studio now with the band, and we have the second album out, and it's going really well, because, you know, I worked incredibly hard, as we all did, before we even played a note. And, you know, and that's not like I'm just sitting at home with my feet up on the chaise long going, oh, you know, you put the work in, you know, you make the sacrifices and you work hard because, you know, we all have to earn a living as well, you know.
Absolutely. So it's Alec Ferguson, I think, who said, fail to prepare, prepare to fail.
Try again, fail better.
Fail better.
Beckett said I.
The album's called Brona Gallagher and it's brilliant.
Thank you, John.
The single is called Make a Move. It's brilliant. We're just about to play it.
Thanks.
We're running out of time. You're on the Salty Dog stage at the Electric Picnic tonight.
Yeah.
Are you excited?
I couldn't sleep. I was so excited.
Sorry, you mentioned that.
I went to bed at like 11:45 and lay down and had the little herbal tea and I was lying there. And it was like all the elves are tucked up in bed because I knew all my band because there's like 12 of us in the entourage. Coming down, I knew everybody had their where to go, what gate to go to. I said, gotta go to sleep now. And the head was ticking over. I said, well, I'll be able to do my hair. That's all I was worried about, me Barnett.
I know.
No, you know, we're really looking forward. It's going to, the atmosphere in Dublin alone, I can't imagine what it's like in the rest of the country. It's so exciting and so many people have headed down, so the sun's shining, so here we go.
Here we go. Brona, thanks a million for taking the time to chat to us and have a great night, and
good
I wish you continued
love.
Success.
Thank you, sweetheart.
Both
good
on
to
film
hear you,
and
love.
In music. You too.
God bless.
Mind yourself now.
You too, love. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you.